He had an Irish act that night.
I know, I remember.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's all right.
We thought we were getting the whole clan.
Well, we're getting them all good. The top.
Look at that.
The rest going over on Sunday night. And
your daughter's coming back.
Oh, yes.
Kevin's coming.
And Kevin.
So
we're going to bring back the girls a week from Sunday. And we'll have a real Louis, Mr. President.
I'm telling you, I'm about to get that. It's really an amazing thing. I think I told somebody the other day about that sermon. I bought that cemetery.
You aren't going to believe this, but we found the cemetery and we couldn't get Mulcahy away from it. He was over talking to a man. He said, just give me a minute. I know we got to go. And he came back and said, I just bought it.
That's the quickest way out.
You look great here. If
you want to have your country, Mr. President, not a long spring.
Is everything going well? You're at your home there, yes.
Yes. Of course. We had great weather for about 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks. It was very good.
Mark, was it kind of a dust storm?
Yeah, I heard about that. The worst windstorm they'd ever had.
It can be horrible there, I know.
I just couldn't believe how that it was.
Did you have a good session in here this morning?
An extremely interesting one.
It's another one of Pete's groups.
Yeah,
the top businessman.
The organization.
Top businessman.
Right. He's probably coming to this change.
Yeah.
Some dinner around the 25th.
That's another brief.
I had dinner with Jerry Burns, who was the largest plastering contractor.
I know him well. He's a great friend of James McGovern.
Is that correct? Yes.
Guys, great fellow.
Well, Jerry gave me a list of the non-productivity efforts of the Peters Union, I must say, the Brennan Union, which are absolutely amazing. What they're doing to frustrate productivity. And I've asked them to write a treatise on it. And I told them I wanted it to give it to you.
Good.
And Jerry is working on it. He said he'd be very happy to do it. So we ought to have that in a week's time. He will have it by the time I get back from Ireland.
Good. You get it to me.
I have to go over to approve the design for a new wing to Ashford Castle, where you haven't been, Mr. President. Your wife has been there. But it has only 40 or 50 bedrooms, and it's not a very viable situation. We're going to put 60 more rooms on there.
Then you're going to then you can use it as a hotel?
Oh, yes.
Oh, great.
Is that the one where Bill Rogers and all stayed? When we were there?
Where the press station?
Oh, no, that's
you know, old castle.
Yeah,
the old.
Right.
The Ashford Castle is up on the west coast, about 2 hours.
Oh.
And what you've done for that country is so admirable and so wonderful, I'm telling you.
Thank you very much, Mr.
President. It's true. I mean, that's the Irish heart for you, by God.
I hope we can get you over there again, perhaps.
I come. Don't worry, I'll get it.
He
wants me to see the
large coast.
You must come down there. Besides, I'm a big barber.
No, you tell me. You say maybe we should.
Well, yes. You probably heard of Jack McCarthy, the TV announcer, you know.
Yeah.
And he does that Irish parade, St. Patrick's Day parade, every time.
Oh, yeah.
Down to 3 or 4
yeah,
hours.
Yeah.
And of course, hundreds of thousands of Irish look at that. And he's coming over on Sunday. And we're going to get your name in front of that TV so often and so on. Where are you visiting?
He's coming over to Ireland.
He'll put me on Sunday night, bring me back. And I have asked if he could come
to the Irish dinner.
To the Irish dinner.
Of course.
And then he would talk to you about
that. I'm sure he comes.
I think it's a good idea.
Sure.
Quick, his wife, is he married?
He is married, yes. Yeah. However, he realizes that the house is sold out, shall we say.
That's
and
right.
There would be no objection. There would be no objection if his wife did not come.
It's sold out.
Going on it, get something done for a change. I kind of got a
Illinois. So he kept going, so he discovered Charlton Heston was in London. We couldn't find the letter anywhere in the wire. He discovered Heston was in London, so he called him in London.
Excuse me, did you want Secretary Connolly to come back in, sir? He's saying...
Oh, yeah, we can come back in for a minute, yeah.
Have you made that?
Yeah, he's coming back in. Bruce called him in London and said, the president's very concerned about a telegram that Bob Hopewell and you were sending, that we wanted to take some action on it. We can't find the telegram, and we want to know where we can track it back down. Preston says, oh my God, I haven't sent it. I told him he was going to, but I haven't been on his trip, and he hasn't sent the wire yet. And then Preston, about 20 minutes, falling all over himself, but, you know, he would be following up.
Worried about his telegram.
Yeah, but we scored a real coup with him, and he'll go back and play back to the hope that Charlton has the time. We had set up and gotten things going and all that, so it was, we made some hay in that. Just, that's something you have to do something about. But,
yeah, about the 30 movies.
Well, I would like to do something about.
How'd you get along?
I think, well, Ron thought it went very well.
Well, we, I just told the office,
oh, it's not, no, it's not to wear me out. No, I have to, I'm in pretty good shape. I've got to do a lot of work in the Treasury Department, and of course, what I'm trying to do is touch as many bases as I can.
Sure.
On both sides of the aisle now, I'm going to more, frankly, more social engagements than I want to, but I do it deliberately to touch as many bases as I possibly can so that I don't get any welling up of opposition here in the early days. So I know the situation, as I said to you earlier, I know the situation that I'm in, and I'm very conscious of it. But last night, C.R. Smith and Bob Strauss and Joe Fowler gave a small dinner party for me at the Metropolitan Club. Well, we had everybody from Andre Meyer to Lou Jennings of the Reagan Bank and Frank Stanton of CBS and Clark Clifford, the Vice President Humphrey, and about 25 of this John Harper of Aluminum Company and Dale Brockett of the Gulf Oil Corporation and that type of fellow from all over the country, including Gus Levy of Goldman Sachs and Joe Thomas of Lehman Brothers. They all came down and we stayed there at 11 o'clock, you know, talking about these things. Most of them were Democrats, a lot of them weren't. A lot of them were your very strong supporters. But we mixed them and did it deliberately, you know, to try to get touch all these bases so I don't get a war going against me in the Democratic ranks before I can somewhat consolidate myself with Republicans who were damn unhappy, a lot of them, that I came up here.
Right.
But it's working. I think it's working out very well right now, and I just... But I haven't spent enough time, very frankly, with my own department, which I need to do it, which I'm trying to do. I have a very brief staff meeting in the morning at 8:45.
What I want to do is to, and I think what I'll do is deliberately, maybe wait another couple of weeks, but I want to get you involved in the national security thing.
Yes.
I'll determine when I think the meeting is worthwhile, and I'll do it. Two reasons. One, I think you will have great interest in it. And it has a tangential relationship. You'll be meeting with people that will be wondering about a lot of things. The second thing is that I want your advice in that field, as you know. And so I have deliberately told these people I may not just put you in on the routine stuff, waiting and then figuring it. Let you take another couple of weeks to get going, and then we'll start moving on that. That's the part of the game that's terribly important. We're going to get... lacked. Hell, that was bogged out. We were bogged out on the beaches all the days. I say we, the Americans, were bogged out in the hedgerows there for a couple of weeks before they attacked on another swing. And so they are. These guys are not miracle men. They're not as good as other guys, actually. But the incursion is that we have a superb commander in Abrams. He's damn good.
Apparently he is.
And he is good. Excellent. And what we're doing now, John, whenever you're talking to me, or I never met the Grand Speaker, me or the rest, one of the things you might drop in and say, you know, I'm sort of stuck in some way with my press conference. I said, I just recommend that you not underestimate what I will do as far as this war is concerned. This is a risky business. It will not fail. It may not succeed completely, but it also already has succeeded in part. And in part, as I say, I've got the 67 tanks and all that ammunition and all those guns without figuring it well. That could have been pretty hellish bad for Americans next February or even as late as August and September before the rain started again. Now, this is moving. You might indicate that estimate what this president may do. He's ready to pull the rug out from under his critics, but in his own time and not in a way that would hurt the country. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And tough. And we got to. You can't tell them now. You can't say, we're going to withdraw at the end of the year. That means that we're going to withdraw at the end of next year, or 12 months, or 18 months, or we're going to do this or that. And we're not going to go north. They're not going to go north or anything like that. But I know everything everybody would like to hear. The reason all this has to be played this way is that in order to keep the game going, the possible potential diplomatic, the absolute necessity of a POW settlement finally, and also to give peace in a position where we do hold up to their elections, which we will do. We've got to play now a very strong game. Big grabs, and our critics on the other side are making up. That's all right. It's like the old mouse trap play. But it's still.
No, I think you're in excellent shape.
We got a lot of criticism in the country. We'll fall on polls and that sort of thing because of it on this issue, because of Laos and so forth, because people don't understand it. But as you know, John, the important thing here is how it all comes out in the answer. Isn't that true? That's right.
No question about it.
But I think I thought you know, I'd do to be reaching now. Whenever I look at, whenever I feel that your schedule will permit it, I'll start having you. I want you to sit in on this so we have more. Because I think you ought to, and I think your counsel is needed, and I think also that you can help Kissinger Rogers, which is a problem.
Has to be.
Two men, a great ego and a great vanity. And I haven't played it the way I did. But I certainly didn't know the score is.
Yeah, no choice.
But on the other hand, you can help on that. But you can't help on it until you have sat in it and walked in front to see the situation. But I think as we talked, you remember when we first talked, that I don't want you to sit over there. If you could get Kent Walker do a lot of this.
Oh, sure. Sure he can. That's part of it. No, the reason, well, one of the reasons.
That's for keeping our mind.
Well, one of the reasons I did is first so I can basically understand it. Once I understand it, I won't forget it. I'll know what they're talking about, and I can make a decision over there in 5 minutes, and now it takes me 2 hours. Secondly, I need to understand it. To improve my credibility with a Paul McCracken or Arthur Burns. I can't, unless the word comes out of Treasury that I know what the hell's going on, filtering through this department or through this town, I can't do much. I have to understand, home base first.
Yeah.
And it's in, but I think another two or three weeks will give you enough. Sure, Charlie, you do it. Paul Volcker.
Yeah, sure.
Highly competent in their field. And Paul is not a political fellow particularly. He just doesn't have that personality. Charlie Walker is. Charlie knows.
He's got a lot of moxie.
Oh, yeah. He knows how to operate. He knows how to talk to people. And this boy Smith over there is great. Jim Smith. So the department's pretty well staffed. We need more depth, and we need a few more top people just to take on odd jobs. Very frankly, we just I have trouble finding some people that I can turn jobs over to. That are up as far as you can. Well, I will. As soon as I get time, I will.
It's not heard at all. He's getting there. He is getting us time. Correct. Yeah.
Malik is fine. Yes, sir.
Let us what you're after. If he knows what you want, he can get him. With your Garvey or New York crowd, you see them. I think it's very important to keep the support policy and confidence. So. Incidentally, it's not. At least the market people should be feeling a little better. They're up to 890 now.
Oh, I think they are. There's a general feeling. There's a wait-and-see attitude and on the part of...
But it's moving up rather than down.
That's right. It's beginning to move. Now, the reason I said what I did about interest rates is...
Oh, man, it's, I love it.
Was because, frankly, I've checked with some of the bankers and some of the interest companies.
That's what made it incredible, too.
And I know what they're doing. And I know what they're not doing.
Let me tell you the thing about our... We've known him for many years, in the last 2 years. He has an enormous ego of vanity. Now, and he likes to run over Schultz. And so I have to protect Schultz from Arthur. After all, Arthur is not working as he worked, and Schultz is. So I'm not going to let him go, because Schultz is a first-class man. It's just balanced. Be. I won't let him run over. But the other point is, if Bob can tell you, nobody could have done more. Brown knows Arthur than I have. Not only since he's been that fit, he's been to every event. You know what I mean? He's in the front row center every time.
You really got to play to that with him.
And he's protocol conscious to another so forth. And you've got to say special attention. You've always got to brace him and so forth and so on. I mean, he beats on it. He needs it. He needs it. He needs it. Now, comes a point, however, and I can see it with Arthur. And it's just like a child. You keep getting the child that ice cream, that candy, and all that other thing. The kid just gets to be a little nasty. And we finally, I felt a point would come where Arthur could not continue to snipe at George. Like, he did last meeting, I didn't pay attention to it, but he said, some of your advisors and this and that. So the third purpose here is to get it a little top part, but also to bring Arthur and cut Arthur a little down the size. I don't want you to have to do it yet.
No, I really shouldn't yet.
But you can see, I was the one, I took him on today, John.
Yeah, you sure did.
I said, it's a better option.
Good.
Well, you and I agree, Bob, he knows it better than us, and Bob has to handle them all the things. But Arthur, I think, needed a little of that treatment. What do you think? He's butchering all of our people.
Well,
Arthur's ruthless. He's, yeah. He really is. And he
plays every game.
Sure.
He's ruthless. He plays all the bureaucracy. He plays all the press. He does the leaks. He does everything else, John.
He plays that hill.
And he sure does hill.
In a big way. Both sides.
Yeah.
I don't say that politically at all. He really protects his. He was up visiting with Hubert Humphrey yesterday.
He covers all those bases
yeah. Constantly.
Oh, but the thing you also must remember, too, is that he wouldn't be there in this position unless I had put him there.
That's right.
Want to do this. I would be delighted to be the first president in 25 years to take the Fed on it. It becomes necessary. And you, as Secretary of Treasury, and
find it necessary to some kind of job.
May well have to.
I hope not. But he's, but Arthur, you know, is a, you know, a remote about the infinite. Your God, he can do something about the infinite. It's smaller, can he?
Yes.
Your people, do they do?
Oh, yeah. Sure he can.
And he says he can buy bonds or some higher bonds.
Well, he starts immediately talking in terms of technicalities. That's the reason I'm...
Oh, he says, he always says that as Mungo General.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the reason I just said, well, you just tell him that you just drop the loan, tax and loan account. Just say that you're very worried because of your Secretary of Treasury talking about changing this tax and loan account. And I said, just do that at the time you talk about interest rates. And if he'll do that, he'll get their attention. Because, and I don't want to have to explain that, but I assure you it'll get their attention. What we do, you see, what happens to banks when the people start paying their tax bills on the 15th, that money doesn't come from the Treasury of the United States. That money goes into banks all over the United States. And it sits there, free of charge, in a tax and loan account, interest-free as far as the government's concerned. Now, the Treasury has the option to draw it down any time from any of these banks, and we do. And it's a good system, nothing wrong with it, but I know what it means to them.
But you just draw down a little bit faster.
You damn right. And you can draw it out of this bank or that bank or whatever. What I really was talking about, and what she caught, was that I would put half of it on time deposit. See, now they pay us nothing for it.
Sir, they got a little income on it.
And this will get their attention. That's fine. He can force these interest rates down, and that ought to be done. Now, I've checked with big banks and little banks, and they're talking this business about money getting 6 months from now going back up. Well, that's why they don't want to get out too damn much. That's why this money's back.
Sure, they make more later.
Sure. And that's why we
do. They're not pushing loans.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And that's why your long-term money insurance companies are not coming down because they've been holding it. Damn right. Let me just tell you that.
I got it.
Well, when I came up here, let me give you an example. When I came up here, I told you that's a personal problem. Well, I wanted, I've got a ranch in which I've got $1 million equity in it, Bob, and I wanted to expand my loan so I could get out of banks and so forth. Well, I said, what interest do y'all charge? 9%. I said, well, goddamn, interest rates are coming down. This is only January this year. I said, well, I checked the other day. I didn't do it. Didn't make the loan. I said, just outrageous. So I checked the day before yesterday. 9%. With no prepayment for 5 years.
You're kidding.
Oh, hell, that's right. And I checked the other day, and I called this old boy up for nothing. He said, well, don't you want this loan? I said, hell no, I don't want it. I said, why? I want 9% money. He said, well, you think rates are coming down? I said, I know they are. He said, well, we sure haven't heard about it. I said, are you serious? I said, they haven't told y'all that you can put out any money less than 9? I said, no, sir. I said, we can't put out a dime. Oh, this is a guy.
They want to tie it for 5 years.
Sure, they want to lock it for 5 years. And, but then, you know, I just was calling it. He's a friend.
5 years, they want
viciously.
That's
the W, because they lock you into that.
Oh, boy, do they? Well, this is where they're still trying to put out money. Hell, they're not trying.
They do that with mortgage money.
That's right. And I talked to a banker here in Washington. I talked to one in Boston. I talked to a couple in Texas. And I talked to a couple in California. And none, only in the last 2 weeks have they even begun to try to push loans. They're not trying to make loans. They're not working on making loans. They still got this tight money complex that's affecting them.
But they've got the money supply.
Oh, hell,
they got the stack of money.
They got the money, but
they don't want to put it out.
And of course, they're giving reverse pressure on banks. And we're loaded with money. We're loaded with money. We don't need any money. And the bare figures show it. But this is why I say we've got to force that interest rate down. If you get it down another percentage point in short term money, it's fine. Even your prime rate is 5.75. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. See, they give you this prime rate 5.75, but they don't put any money out of it. You can't get that
percent.
I checked with a small banker who's smart as hell. Well, it ain't Jake Jacobson who served. President Johnson, he was here in the White House, but like you are. And he is smart as hell. And I said, now, Jake, I said, you got 5.75%. I said, how many loans have you got in your bank? He said, only my directors. I said, well, you're a damn fool. I said, you either make your directors pay a little more than the prime or get a few more loans in there. I said, don't let your directors stand out. I said, they're not a loan in your bank, except your directors at prime rate. He said, that's right.
Well, that's pretty stupid.
That's right. And I said, well, what are you getting for it? He said, at least 7.5.
My God, let's get them down. Now, listen, that's a banking center. I checked interest rates are too high.
That's right. And I checked with two big banks, and they say the same thing.
Exactly.
They all were.
Well, my friend Rabolo told me that he said they're getting 8%.
Oh, well, that's right. Sure they are.
That's a little way in Florida.
Sure. That's why when they give you all this money supply and prime rate and so forth, that doesn't really make a difference. Because the average society, I don't give a damn, he'd be a poor citizen in this economic status.
Well, it's that you've got to get that down before you can get the other down. But
that's
getting down doesn't bring the other.
That's exactly right.
So you can take the first step and nothing else.
It's hard to figure these economic trends. Who knows? I mean, this unemployment figure just a little one way or the other. But the point is that I have this feeling, which is that whether you get 1065, that's remains to be seen, maybe it's 1050, whatever it is. I have the feeling that John, it is waiting to see, but I have a feeling that somewhere or other there is some, at least the debate is about how much it moves up. There seems to be some feeling. I don't feel a lack of confidence is as great as Arthur indicates it is. Everybody in the country is just sitting around waiting. They've got a hell of a lot of things that are still going on, aren't they?
That's right.
I don't know. How do you feel about it? You've been watching around.
It's no question. Every single economist admits it's going up.
Yeah.
It's just a question of how far. And one of the appearances I made, and I tried to make this with George and everybody else, and I really think we ought to all do it, McCracken and the rest of it. We ought to get off of 1065.
Yeah.
As a goal, 1065 represents something. It in itself is meaningless, except as it means a rate of growth in this economy and a reduction in unemployment. That's what it really means. It means more jobs. It means more economic vitality. Now, depending on how this vitality comes, you can reach all your goals in your budget and never reach 1065. Let's assume that your economic activity was such that your corporate taxes increased to the point where you met your revenue goals. And you can do that very easily without getting to 1065. Depends on who makes the money.
Yeah.
And if your corporation profits increase, that's where you're going to get a big grab in a big hurry. So you can both reach your unemployment goals and your revenue goals without ever reaching 1065. So all I'm saying is every now and then we ought to mix it up a little bit. Don't just talk about 1065 because you're so right. Every one of these press people will say you failed. You didn't reach 1065. Well, that in itself is not the magic.
You get the phony goals.
That's the whole point.
Anyway.
But anyway, I think
it's moving. I think it's going to fly in the air tonight.
Yes, sir.
By the time you're leaving, I was down there. Five. How are you going?
Saber running down for me.
Oh, they got a plane for you. I was going to say, Rockwater's going back to cover it. I think Rockwater will probably go. That might not be a bad idea.
He may be going back to all of
you. Can we check at 3:00?
Oh, sure, I'll be there.
You check with Rocky. And when you call, you're going to the meeting at 3:30, aren't you? No. We weren't. No. Rockwell meetings. No.
Don't bother.
3:00. We'll check with Rocky. If you don't hear it, you must take the safe line. If you just cross and go again. All right.
Thank you very much.
Oh boy, yeah.
one when I leave, just by the spot, I think by mistake, if you want.
No, that's correct.
Come out better today than we would have if we'd done the PR.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the news wise could find out some positive stuff, and we don't overshadow last night with a lot of potential mess up there, so I think.
Colson has made all his calls, so he's got the contact, he's got a set going now. I don't know much he can do, but he can try.
Gets on.
I have a feeling that they're probably had a quite positive reaction from all the other people and people of the kind that would react positively to Cambodia.
I think so. We should got it in our own.
You see what I'm getting at is obviously because I put the two together. I think putting the two together sort of reminded them of a lot of people, you know, my God, I'm praying that you correct yourself. It's exactly wrong that they would want to bring. He said the press was not disturbed by the fact that it's wrong.
I don't think they were. Raised that question about what the military were doing last week or whatever it was.
But he did?
It's about a week ago, yeah. And then he hit him on the, you know, there's no point in keeping reserves. We didn't even do it again.
Well, I gave him hell this morning. I said, put everything in there. It's good. So over the weekend, we can find any bomb. I mean, I'm from Passes.
We've been taking the Passes, dude. We hadn't gone up there yet.
The missiles only. Or maybe it's a spillover.
Yeah.
It's some trucks.
I knew you had a plan to do that. I thought you'd already had moved into that.
It's hard work. It's never quite as hard.
You know, I think.
I think you have to.
I think you have to work on your as hard as you do. I don't. I think. Well, let me say. I think it's worth working as hard as you do. I think you get it.
It's not,
I know that's.
It's all right.
But it's. If you didn't do anything all week, if you spent all week getting ready for it, and if you had taken off after the thing and rested until next Tuesday,
the difficulty is you can't work all week. This kind of work is something that you can only do in this way.
Otherwise, you got to lock yourself up in
48 hours and you just got to do something.
Which is Tuesday.
And it's goddamn hard work. I mean, it's, you know, very few people can put themselves through it. They put themselves through it once a year and college examinations, you know, that's the way it's examination.
Yeah.
You put yourself through
the same thing. It's the same kind of exercise.
You go to examination, they're washed out.
And then you collapse.
And I go on this thing day after day after day. But I have to do it well because I can't make the mistakes.
Well, that's why it's worth that, I think. It's worth that effort.
Did you check with Greg's about the office press conference?
I've asked to work on it. Hey, there's no problem.
Is he around today?
He was, yeah. At least a week.
Let's see if he can.
Conservatives, it's just what you'd expect. The only thing that they override the others. On approval or disapproval of the inclusion, he says the division can be considered a dead heat.
About the criminal, you have decided the attorney de-analyzed that.
He hasn't yet. Well, let me see. That's the other thing he's going to work on. Now see, that wasn't as much of an increase on the ORC poll. He decided it was 13 last time and 17 this time. They had a high and decided before. It was 9 on the same at the same time. Chilton one showed a 9% decided. ORC showed 13%.
Why not one right out there?
you wouldn't get the press.
Well, the press were here at the Summit Circle. The president were at the desk facing the press, and there was a camera here. You'd stay on relatively on a wide angle. In other words, we'd tie down the president, come back up the wide angle. Rather than being able to cut to the president when he's giving an answer that we really want to emphasize, and then coming back to a wide angle again.
I remember you're only doing it for outtakes, so you're not doing it for full run.
So we've got to be quality stuff.
Yeah.
So
we've
got to look at it.
What about ignoring the press? Just do the president.
That's what I mean. Just let them answer. Just say it's in the president's office. Show the backs of their heads. Just show they, so that you really get the feel of the office press conference. A la Roosevelt and all the years. Always done that way before now.
Well, in that case, they'd do it this way. They'd put the press as they almost normally would stand and just slip them enough to put a camera right here.
Yeah.
Rather than flank the camera on both sides and then just focus the camera on the president.
So because you're only going to get a 2 or 3, 4 or 5 minutes out of it anyway. You're not going to get a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a matter of
film. Somebody may pick up the half hour.
Independence might just matter.
Independence might take the whole thing, but normally you're talking about
take it to.
Mm-hmm. Normally you're talking about film.
Well, we are talking about electronic camera coverage as opposed to film camera coverage. If regardless of what we're talking about, we're going to have to put additional lighting in here.
Well, then another way you could do it. Earlier. Over to the blue room.
Mm-hmm. Daytime.
Press conference. Or it's more intimate.
Non-TV, with film coverage.
Have it all set up. Have the camera, then have the lighting, and go work on the lighting and everything. And
start interrupt the day here.
And,
it doesn't interrupt the day here, because on the day of the press conference, the president works.
Well, there's no problem there.
All
right. The other thing you could do, just say, look, the president will meet you. They've got the lights. We want to go to the camera. I'm not going to do it out there in their great briefing room. You could put it up and set up chairs and do it over in the
right. And also considering the time of day, I would attempt to try to simulcast it on radio network.
And we should.
We're going to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do that anyway, whatever we do.
See, if the president were just doing the press conferences on radio, I would recommend perhaps the EOB office.
Something.
To handle those people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. But why do it twice is my point. In other words, you're going to do it for the film cameras and do it simultaneously for radio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. We do, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just set it up. We'll always have it. Right.
Just thought as even if we don't have a film camera.
Right.
We'd still do it for radio.
Right.
Avoids the overexposure.
All right. So what we're really talking about is finding a location to do in-office press conference with film cameras available, from which excerpts will be run hopefully on nighttime network news.
Yeah.
And a simulcast network radio broadcast.
The difficulty is that over there is that they want to do what they all want. If you take it out of this room, just put all their cameras. So each of them get to shoot.
They go cool anyway.
They don't, the big one.
Yeah, that's just one network.
Cool. The East Room?
Yes, sir.
What are all those cameras?
Those are film. Those are the reels.
All right.
There's only one, well, there's several cameras, but they're all one network. They're cameras to get different angles.
There's a lot of other cameras.
There's only one camera.
You're right. And I would recommend very strongly that we limit it to electronic cameras and maybe one, you know, film. Because that way
we're trying to get the business in a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
A less formal atmosphere. That's the problem. Now, that's the beauty of this room. And of course, this is a hell of a room to have a press. People see the press and
the press great in the president's office. That's great.
Great tradition, you know.
And the press standing up and writing has a different feel than if you do it with a
has an urgency to it, a really...
He's got to call his press, call him in, and this is the way he's got it done, in a different view. I think shooting it from back there, letting the press divide just a little. And I would shoot the press. I don't think
you get a little wide shot to get some press in.
Oh, yeah.
Go just, that's right. Just have it, here's the press, and have the camera on me all the time.
I think just to establish, sir, that the press is gathered around your desk informally and then go into, you know, that kind of thing. You could do it on one camera.
Now, I think one camera deal is what I have in mind.
That simplifies the lighting problem.
It simplifies the lighting problem to a certain degree. It minimizes the amount of setup time. See, what we've been doing some work since we got wind of this yesterday on how quickly they could react to it. If you
want, they say they need 3 hours.
Well, we can cut that down, I think, to about two and a half. To get
questions and react.
Well,
by the time we tell them that we're going to do it, so they can be set up and ready to go. In other words, get their light up and their camera up and all that.
Give a message on the economy or something.
And just say the president will be available for a phone call at 3 o'clock.
But you see, what I'm saying, Bob, is that in order to get them to bring an electronic camera in here, which is going to cost them more than bringing newsreel camera coverage in here, they're going to need a little motivation, because that's additional dollars, and they're, you know, they're cranking down anyway, just like everybody else is. So we want to motivate them for this one camera electronic setup, so we get that nice, crisp, spontaneous feel.
What he's talking about is that produces it on tape rather than on film, and is a better picture.
Yeah.
And looks better on
feels
the
better.
Looks
sound.
A lot on the screen.
That would be Rock Caller in
the room. At the EOE, yes, sir. And you probably let Bill work on, you know, how some ideas on the layout.
Do you think do you think that putting on the makeup last night helped the picture?
Yes, sir, I do.
I wonder, I've never used it before. Of course, I always put on a beard stick myself.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on the counter.
But this is no different than you're putting on beard stick, but making your face even one shade, instead of standing a chance of possibly getting a blotchy, even unhealthy look. You know, this was 7 minutes of your time. Nobody really was aware that you were that made up. It wasn't heavy. It looked good on the screen. Really did. I just think if you can afford the time, Mr. President, it's worth it. I tell you, I could have stood up and applauded last night a couple of times. Fantastic job. Effective.